And welcome back to the next talk of Solarpunk 2077. We just heard the lovely Radio Cosmica coming from Mexico talking about how to heal through radio, through radio waves. And that's, I guess, a good intro into what's coming next. I would like to welcome my friend, my own phone to today. He's going to be talking to about, hello, my own phone, Guerrilla Living Syndrome, or the Anarchist Hospital, as you also call it sometimes, sharing a bit about the imagination and other forms of living together in this planet. Welcome, my own phone. Can you please introduce yourself?
Okay. Hello. My name is Ma Yong Feng. I'm an artist and curator based in Berlin, but I was living in China for many years, most of the time in Beijing and Shenzhen and some other cities. But I'm doing a lot of different projects. It's kind of a non-traditional or non-conventional art project. Today I'd like to come to do the face-to-face interview, but I have to do the self-quarantine today because I have been outside of the Berlin for several days. So that's today I'd like to introduce the project. It was initiated by Forget Art in 2011 and 2012, because the project named the Guerrilla Living Syndrome. It's like, you know, because in traditional China, in the especially in the fast developing, you know, big city in China like Shanghai, Beijing, and Shenzhen and Guangzhou, the many young people live there and to work there. But the government urged the young people to try buy property according to their some tradition and concept or, you know, some, you know, ideology. The people think that if you become a successful man in China, you should buy some properties and buy some apartment. It's not like, you know, in Germany, in Berlin, you don't need to buy some property, you just rent some. It's after the, you know, the communist China, it's become very harsh and very tough and very deep and capitalism in China. Actually, it's a very, it's a mixture. Of the, you know, the new liberal capitalism, and also I think the government to try to ask the young people to buy property or because they want these young people don't, you know, they try to occupy their life with money with property, with, you know, cars, with luxurious, with entertainment, and it makes them have no energy to do any kind of resistance and, you know, do some other, and, you know, very, you know, very different idea or some. You can't just, because you have a lot of if you have a lot of burden, like a life living burden or some pressure, you don't have any kind of time and energy to think the community you are living, you know. That's why in 2011 I have talked with some artist, architect, and some anarchist and also activists. We want to do some projects about this, you know, this is some very alternative and pillar, very, you know, stable living. And try to against the very traditional and the conventional idea about how to live in the big city or in the, and it's also like today that we are trying to many new anarchists to try to reclaim the networks, but to reclaim the, you know, the online media. But on the other hand, we have to, you know, reclaim the tradition space, because the many tradition space have been abandoned, like a street and factory, and you know the even the museum spaces. So the lot of space have been abandoned by the you know the new generation. They love time spend too much time on the, you know, online, in the some social media. So, but this project tried to urge the young people to use their imagination, like this. You can see this tricycle caravan, and with a megaphone. There's some slogan from a French philosopher, Guy Debord. Imagination and power. Actually, I want to change a little bit. We can call it to empower your imagination. Today we need to, like an anarchist, a real anarchist, we need to empower our imagination to make some very very alternative way to living. So actually don't need, that's the basic thinking and about you know how to make this project in the street or some in the square or some in the occupied place or some squatted place, and you can create, you can use the imagination to create and make a remake and recreate you know some living structure or some asylum, or you can call it what you want. And we have asked almost 40 or 50 artists and young artists and architects to make some project in the street, a square and some other places they like. They can, every artist and architect, they can use their, you know, their experience to create some you know greener living structure or living asylum. I remember one of the young artists make some easy to bring cocoon. It's like a design, you know, cocoon, and he can easily to bring this it's like a bag. It's like tote bag, but it's a little big. You can, and he could bring it anywhere and open it very quickly and to live there. So it's very interesting. There are many interesting works, and many interesting works appear in the streets and also, you know, everywhere in the square and even in the forest. This picture was created by the was recreated in front of one of the museum, art museum in Shanghai. It's MCAM, Museum of Contemporary Art, Ming Contemporary Art Museum, Shanghai. And because after 70 or 80 years, this museum have you know commissioned us to recreate this project in front of the museum. So I asked some people together to make the you know it's like an anarchy camp in front of the museum. Also we have brought one of also a and combine the art project together with this camp together. It's an online podcast and radio. It's uncut. It's also I initiated in 2012, and with two other friends. And this online radio is dedicated to some socially engaged art, social action programs. And last year we have interviewed some, you know, Hong Kong pro-democracy activists in Berlin last year. So we combined this radio together. You can radio with this NK camp together. You can see the caravan. There's a big megaphone and was installed on the caravan, during the opening and sometimes I also do some guerrilla Shanghai radio, and I did a live interview with some some activists in Shanghai and some anarchists and inside of this caravan, or sometimes I use the recording material to broadcast in front of this square, in front of this museum. And this megaphone actually is it's according to my memory, it's come from the People's Commune, in 70s. It's a very big, it have a lot of, the voice is very big. It could spread 500 meters away, or even 800 meters away. It's so very, the voice very big. And also the opposite of this the anarchy camp is it's a school, it's a primary school, it's a middle, it's not, it's high school. Even students from high school can hear this voice, can this program, because most of the tracks are very sensitive in China. I have tried to build some platform in China, but it was banned, and they have deleted all of my tracks overnight. So I have to put this platform on SoundCloud. Now you can check all the tracks and archived from SoundCloud. SoundCloud uncut, and also that this uncut radio, our motto is uncut and uncensored and unlimited. You can talk whatever you want. We don't censor any of the contents. You can speak whatever you want, so no one try to censor you or cut you or manipulate you. So we combine this together, and because I haven't found some picture from 2011, so I use this picture in front of museum. But that's very urgent especially in China, because in China in 20 and 30s of last century, the anarchy, the anarchy thoughts was spreading very well in before the Marxism have appeared. Many activists they believe in anarchists, but since the Chinese CCP, Chinese Communist Party, They took the power, become the become a very, very, you know, the totalitarian government. So that's why I talked to some friends. Yeah, that's a big difference between the Marxist and anarchist. Because Marxists, if they have opportunity, they would like to took the power and become totalitarian. And the anarchists, they don't want to take some power. They want to empower people. They want to share the power to other people. So I think in China, the people need to the more and more anarchist concept and thoughts to share. But you have to, at the anarchist, yeah. Hello?
Yes, sorry. So going back to that last point you said is that basically you were saying that before the nationalist and communist revolution, the biggest revolutionary movement in China in the early 1900s was actually anarchism. Is that correct?
It's a very short time, just 10 years, I think. From 1918 to the, you know, to the 1928, maybe after that, the most people believe in the, we should believe in the Marxism, because we need to take down the Qing dynasty because we want to build a strong country because because the communist, the activists, they ask the people, they let the people think, we were exploited by the imperialist, the Great Britain or some colonial power, you know. So that's why they try to let young people to believe in Marxism and not anarchism, because anarchism is more libertarian and more, you know, individual or sometimes. So, but today many people don't know anarchism, because not many media and not many platforms have tried to promote the anarchism in China, and people have discredit and tried to discredit anarchism. They told the young people, it represents some, you know, chaos and unsteady society, and your life will be get influenced, and people. And this the government trying to use papers, everybody need to study and, you know, life, and you can live a very good living, and anarchists represent some, you know, violence and, vandalism or something. And they try to create, but it's not true, because it's not true. So that's why we try to, the artist try to, the sometimes if you, I think the art, it's a very good way to take to use and take advantage contemporary art as a tool to spread some anarchism. It's easier to let people accept, because they could find some fun and interesting things to share together. Then you don't need to tell them anarchism or something. But we just use some very practical, substantial action and the community to let people to believe in we can do it, you know. So there are many kinds of, you know, practical ways like people to think, oh, this is the very idea. This is what I really want to do. Like many artists, artists and the young people, they want to do, and they want to invent, they want to recreate their life, not just live a boring, you know, modern apartment or living with some burden, a burden or pressure. Actually, they want to live an interesting life without burden, and they want to have, you know, tribal, and they make their things. So that's, art project, it's easy to like people to excite this. So that's why we try to do this project in the long term. So it's a long term project from 2011 to until now. So we are still doing this, and also we are still doing the uncut podcast. But you know, it's kind of sometimes it's a random, and also sometimes it's improvised media, like uncut. We don't have a schedule to make some interview. If we found some interesting person or interesting project, we would like to do that. So we combine these two projects together to make the camp and some interviews and online streaming in front of the museum. But we're not only do this in front of museum. We would like to do it more in some streets and the city square. Actually, in 2015, I was doing some refugee project in Belgrade and Serbia, also in the public square. I was invited by the European alternatives to do some project in the city square in Belgrade. I think the artists should use their imagination to trick some new possibility for the social activists, and not just staying at studio to do some. That's my basic thinking about today's artists is not staying studio. They should appear in the street and to making that square and some, you know, some offside, making some offside project. I have also made some project in the university square in the university Bologna in 2012, and because there's a big demonstration and protest in that square, so I was asked to make some projects with the students together. So I made a lot of the recycled cardboard and some banners to mix, and also some I sprained some many sentences on it and tried to make conversation with the local students. Improve, and also I want to challenging they're seeking. So that's a lot of conversation in square. That's a very interesting experience for me. So because many students say they would like to come to write it down their seeking. We have a lot of recycled cardboard and some banners empty for them to use. But we want to launch some provocative conversation, because we want to doubt it is a carnival or some revolt or something. So that's try to make some street discussion with the students. Why do they come to protest? Why? What's they are protesting? It's a carnival or so. Because there are no opposite pressure like China. In China, you can't go to street to do any kind of protest and demonstration after 1918, because the Tiananmen massacre, the Chinese Communist Party have cracked down any kind of protest and demonstration in the streets. You have no possibility to do that. And if you appear in the street to do the demonstration, you will be get arrested in 5 minutes. So that's why they try to crack down the pro democracy demonstration, very big one in Hong Kong. Because of this Communist Party, they come from the they took the power through through weapons. So they truly believe in the weapon. Like the Chairman Mao said, all the power come from the weapon. So they don't afraid any kind of demonstration. They use a very different, of course, after the now that they don't use the very violent massacre like Tiananmen Square. Now they use a very different way, like online surveillance and censorship. And now they use the infiltration and they use the the gangster to manipulate the demonstration. So that they use a very, very, they try to use every resource to take down any kind of resistance in China. So that's a very, very tremendous challenge for the Chinese activist. That's why I have left there, and I tried to come to Berlin, because sometimes you can't do anything. You feel very depression about what is happening around you. I try to do something here, maybe to help the people in China. But according to the the experience I have been working in the contemporary art field, I truly believe it today's. Because I believe in the contemporary art, most of the contemporary art today is very boring, because it was very gentrified and deep, very commodity. That's why I want to create some immaterial, and immaterial, and also some projects that try to use some even for the anarchy, I think it's also have problems. So anarchy hospital is maybe some kind of a self-heal, because you have to self-reflection and self-thinking about what you're doing, and then you can you can find some you know, cutting edge or some the interesting idea to practice to. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm, but it's interesting. I have when I was living in Kreuzberg, Berlin, I have found many, you know, many anarchist camp around the Kreuzberg and along the, you know, along the Spree River, and also the some squatting apartment. That's very interesting. And even in the 2018, in Kreuzberg, we also have some movement to against the, you know, the Google camp, and it works. It's very interesting. But also, I'm with international activists and anarchists from China, try to make some communication platform also, and exchange some interesting idea about how to build some interesting commons and all some, you know, to fight with today's, you know, unfair or some sincerity, and also the today's and also the today's the total control. And actually it's very interesting, you can find it today. The we're living very, you know, technology time also. Or some philosopher called Anthropocene, we're living the Anthropocene time, a time of Anthropocene, but actually we have a lot of you know, exploitation, a lot of censorship, a lot of invisible and intangible crackdown about people. And today's control is sometimes it's invisible, so you can't feel that. So that's we have to find like last time we have talked about, we have to know exactly what they are doing, like government or this financial system, and what they're doing. Then we are also this technology background, we should know something about this technology, finance, and also this nation state control. What's their new strategy and tactical to how to control people, how to censor people? Then we can know how to fight with them. We can't fight, we can't fight like a traditional anarchist. Traditional anarchist is it doesn't work now, you know. It really doesn't work. So that's why we should develop some new idea about how to fight with this new exploitation. Yeah, that's some basic thing thinking about because according to the, you know, the experience and you know, practitioners I have done, I have deeply believed today, but we have to make the, you know, two different you know, resistance online and offline. You know, it's we have to find the weak points of this system and to fight with them, and not just fight them blindly, you know. that's what I'm thinking all the time about this. But do you have some question or hello,
yeah,
Julia?
Yeah. First, I would like to really thank you for your reflections. I am very moved by a lot of the things that you said, specifically this last part of how, like, we need to even go beyond this typical ideas or traditions that we have of anarchism, and really imagine other worlds and other practices and ways of fighting these structures of domination, like the state surveillance, the capitalist surveillance, also how to hack all these technologies and into different ways where we can democratize them, or I don't know, even as we heard before also from Radio Cosmica and Cyber Girls, like how to heal also through these practices. And I want to ask you maybe a little bit, because you only touched barely on it, about the Anarchist Hospital. What is it? How did you thought about it? And how can we make it a reality?
Actually, Anarchist Hospital is kind of, rethinking about anarchism, because as maybe different, many different kinds of anarchism before, but what facing today is a new technology, new financial system, and a new social structure. We need some new perspective to fight with today's institution or and invisible enemies. So that means we anarchists, we should have, it's like a hospital. We go there to check our weak points, and then we overcome that. Yeah, it's the self, we know our self limitation, our self restriction, our self weakness, and then we know how to find them. That's the basic thinking about anarchy. That means every anarchist need go to hospital to check by themselves, and then in solidarity with other people, and we can, because maybe other people, it's a very good mirror for you. And like we have a lot of exchange about the new anarchism. So then we can find, we are living in the hospital, we treat each other, and we found some interesting idea to work together. You know, that's the basic idea about anarchy hospital.
Yeah, wow. I see it in a lot of my friends who organize here in the left in Berlin and other places, like the need to really have a space just to reflect and calm down and not organize for a little bit, so then they can come back, you know. Otherwise it's like we're burning ourselves into the fire, we're just going into the beast, and you know, by ourselves individually pretending that we can stop it, right? And I think maybe we do need to also take back, as you were saying, this not just the virtual spaces, but the physical spaces, so that we can create anarchy hospital with running water and everything else that we need, hopefully. And
like in Exarchia, they have anarchist hospital that helps people when they don't have the ability. To pay for healthcare, okay. They can go to these anarchist station for pharmaceuticals and everything.
Interesting. Policy they talk about the real hospital, physical hospital. It also works, because in the future, maybe in Germany, some poor people cannot go to a hospital to heal themselves. So maybe it's also a good idea to have some, public hospital to, you know, anarchy hospital to treat some people they really need some doctors also is a good idea, you know.
I guess it's also a way of decentralizing the knowledge about our bodies. Like today, nobody knows about their own body, you know, like most people, especially us men, I feel like we never thought about how our own physiognomy works and so on. We're so out of touch with it. And I feel like really creating a space where people can learn about these things and then also healing each other. It's a way where, like, we, yeah, you know, we can all be doctors somehow. I mean, that's very idealistic. Probably a doctor will laugh at me. but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, So, because now we have a very serious, you know, severe situation with the pandemic. After this pandemic situation, all the countries have, you know, have a stress and you know, squeeze the people's power and, you know, try to centralize the power. Even the German government, of course, the Chinese government, they try to take down, I mean, they try to control totally 100% about people. So that's also, it's the big hospital all around the world now. So that's like people let us to rethink about, you know, what we are living around us, you know.
Yeah.
It's a world hospital now, you know. Everywhere.
Yeah, and how do we create those spaces for mutual aid, mutual care, that, you know, we can actually, like, build that bottom-up health. Tomorrow we will have people from the Hologram, Cassie, forget her last name, and Max Haven will be speaking about
Cassie Thornton.
Cassie Thornton will, and Max Haven will be speaking a bit about this peer-to-peer health care tool, so watch out for that tomorrow. And then the other thing, my own phone, I wanted to go back to in your very interesting talk was about sort of this whole thing of the Marxist taking power and becoming totalitarian. We've seen that happening in China and in the Soviet Union, in many parts of the world, really in Latin America as well, to some extent also. And so it makes me wonder, right? Because now, you know, there are many layers to this. Like if you look at the debates now, for democracy in Hong Kong, like you mentioned, and also Taiwan as a sort of, like, some people call it the other China or whatever. There is this sort of back and forth between China and Taiwan and also Hong Kong about, like, what is the real China, right? And, like, which one is communist and which one is capitalist. But in the end of the day, as you said, they're both, I mean, China is capitalist, so they're both capitalist nations. So for me, I wonder if the future of China might be like an anarchist federation, as in, like, you know, all these places can autonomously organize themselves and then democratically decide over what pertains to them without having these top-down totalitarian regimes, which just, you know, destroy the planet through their practices of exploitation and extraction of resources. So I wonder if you see the possibility of an anarchist China, whether that's just in Zhonghua or in the whole Chinese-speaking world.
Actually, China is a culturally invented term. It's not, we don't call it China before. We have, because we have many dynasties, like from Qin dynasty to Tang dynasty to Qing dynasty. There are many dynasties, so every dynasty have a different culture, and we also have Mongolia and the Manchu people have governed us. You know, so have a, you know. So China is a very complicated term, and for the anarchist. Anarchism the future, anarchist future in China, I think in the rural area and in some of the, you know, not easily controlled area, it's it's still you can develop some anarchy community, and but now it's a Chinese community. They want a Chinese Communist Party. They want to make a very large commerce structure. Like me, it's like the dynasty, like the Qin dynasty. Because 2,000 years ago, China is a country. It's not like Europe. It's like it's not like a feudal system. Today we call it authoritarian, but it's a structure have existed for 2,000 years. It's a very strong structure. It's not easy to break down, you know. So, and also because Marxism have a spread in China, they combined this large commerce structure together, and it tried to control every small commerce structure. That means anarchist group or some non-profit or NGO. All they try to, you know, crack down all these small groups, because they want all the group, all the people, they want all the people become sand, sand, and to believe in the central government.
Yeah,
that's why the decentralization in China become centralization. Like, you know, what's the new technology?
Qihuailian.
What's the English name?
Blockchain.
Blockchain in China become a centralized blockchain. You can't imagine that. So all the new technology in China have become the new weapon, a new technology weapon to control people. It's not the future. It's not a brilliant future for people to share. It's not about anarchist, it's about control. That's a totally different, you know, perspective in China. So I think it still have some possibility to develop some anarchist, but not in the big cities, maybe some rural area and some, you know, maybe in Taiwan, Hong Kong. Hong Kong, that's not possible now, because Hong Kong they have controlled Hong Kong totally now. And Taiwan maybe, but I know there are also some. It has some small anarchist group in Wuhan and in Guangdong. They are active or didn't. Yeah, I don't know what's the future, but I feel like it should. They will develop. It will evolve by themselves. But the central government don't like this, you know. Apparently.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Of course, because they want. They thought it's illegal or some illegal. So assembly, illegal assembly, illegal things.
But at the same time, in China, well, it was interesting. Now you mentioned this whole like mixture of structures of like the sort of the ancient dynastical patriarchal tradition with mixing in with this Marxist state socialism, and mm-hmm. and the construction of China as this mix of you know, confusing China, as when people talk about China, oftentimes it's hard to separate between the Chinese people, the Chinese communist government, and like the place, as it were. And oftentimes, I think that is kind of like this construction of China you were talking about, that is so hard to tear apart, which is really just a very new historical thing, no? And based on that, I would like, also, I also ask, like, what about these other democratic traditions that, for example, our friend here who was in Rojava and Kurdistan was talking about. Like, you have these traditions of Taoists, Taoist philosophers, Taoism, and also even Buddhism. Wouldn't you say that maybe there is some sort of grassroots remnants there, or was it all chopped out by the Cultural Revolution in China?
What do you mean? I mean the Buddhism or Taoism, they have some...
have any sort of grassroots democratic, I would say even anarchistic potentials in China, or were they all like eliminated by the Chinese communist regime?
Now the meaning is because in China they also have many elite leftist or some liberalist.
Mm-hmm.
The liberalist in China, liberalist intellectuals, their political idea is try to use the Western democracy system, try to use the democratic system. But they also have a tradition, elite leftist. They are more interested in the, anarchism.
Like real democracy, as opposed to liberal.
Yeah, because we have lived in the some commune, like it's real. In some small area, it works well. I have experienced a little bit people's commune when I was very young, because I found a kid. For me, it's very interesting. And also it's a lot of fun, because you can meet a lot of people to eat together. So it's because they have a dining hall for all the people together. So that's interesting, because that's why some of leftists in China, they like to promote and develop some new anarchist platform. And also they have a lot of media. They also have translated a lot of article about this anarchism.
And is there a connection between the anarchist and the Taoist in China?
Actually, not very much. Actually, people maybe can. And they get inspiration from that because the Laozi and the Zhuangzi also have a very idealistic anarchism about but it's according to my understanding, they want to. A small country like Europe, many different small countries together, and they don't want this big like China now. That's their idea is separate, many small countries separated, like Europe.
Okay.
But
okay, I see. Interesting.
Yeah, but it's the Buddhists have their community. It's like the Christian hermit. But now because the religion have been manipulated by the government, by politics also.
Yeah.
In China. So the many religions, many temple and church, they have to listen to the Chinese Communist Party at first. So that's a big challenge for religion in China.
Yeah, religion is managed by the state.
Yeah. The Communist Party side, you can't. Yeah, you can do the religion but you have to listen to the, you can't do any kind of resistance, or you can't, that will censor you, or you have to listen to the government, the party at first.
And well, so because this is an uncensored place and we need to close down really soon, do you have any uncensored ideas or comments you would like to share with the world before we close this round, my own home?
Yeah. At last, I want to say today we have a lot of space and physically or virtually to reclaim and recreate and redefine and reinvent. So there's a lot of challenging for us to do, you know. So yeah, that's what I'm seeking.
Thank you so much, my own Fong, for your time and for your sharing your thoughts and of the imagination. It froze a bit. My own Fong?
Yeah. He's back. Thank you.
Thanks, Ma.
Thanks, my own Fong.
You are frozen. You are frozen. Okay. What did you say?
No, I just said thank you for your time and for sharing your thoughts and for allowing us to imagine what other worlds can be possible, specifically from your experience in China.
Okay.
And yeah, in just in general, really, with your art. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me to speak.
Yeah, I'm sure many people at especially the Stalinists and the Marxists are watching. As you know, I would like to end on this because there are many European Marxists who look at China as the pinnacle of communism and the best place where socialism happened. And so maybe you want to send them a message.
Yeah, in China they also have a lot of anarchists, not only Marxists, because China is a very complicated country. So of course, it has a lot of layers, and and also entanglement. So it's not one thing, you know.
Yeah. No, of course. No, I just meant about the idealization of the Chinese Communist Party, like this big ideal socialist, place where communism really happened, and all this, because there is a lot of idealization or romanticism from Europe. I encountered when I came here about China. No, they see it like the left, traditional Marxists or more orthodox Marxists, I would even call them, are really sort of romanticizing or idealizing China, and it's a bit it feels opportunistic, I feel, in many ways. If you have encountered this yourself.
Yeah, 99% of the European leftist intellectuals, they have idealized China, especially the Cultural Revolution. They have imagined, oh, that's idea, that's a place. But actually, thousands of people have been killed and during that time. That's a big nightmare. It's not so. That's the future is anarchism. It's not Marxism. Definitely.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayong, for
welcome.
Super inspiring. Yeah. Ciao.
Good night.
Good night,
Ciao.
So now we take another small pause.
Yeah.
And then we are back with Circles UBI with Julio. Then we're going to make a nice message to Julio. All right. Pause. We'll be back.